said the Lord, this is what I see, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to worship Him in His temple. Lord God, with this hope, that one thing that we would seek, behold you in your temple, we come together, that we may know you and behold you and to experience you, Lord. Thank you for this morning, bringing your people together to, Lord, remember your resurrection day and to proclaim your word and also hear your word by the Holy Spirit. So would you be with us this morning and bless our hearts, and may you be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Well, I have lots of blessing, but of course you know that we just finished the STP. So STP is the greatest highlight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one of my highlights, I mean the whole scene, the whole STP was a highlight. Actually, the highlight was Ethan's food. He spent so much time cooking a night before for the next day's dinner. So I didn't know he was that into it, but then it resulted in good food. So I was satisfied. Really the highlight was seeing my young disciples, especially Bing Chen and Kevin, just jumping for joy. Another one is Stephen, who never, I don't think, shared the gospel before, did you? No, and I got a chance to share with them the first day, is that right? And then I got to show him the bridge, and then the next thing you know it, he's leading people to Christ. Amazing. But anyway, for Kevin, it's like he had a kind of a downer, a struggle from within, and he was pouting in the morning. You know, with his mouth like. So I was trying to encourage him, come on, guy, you know, it's not that bad. It's all right, you know. But he was just still pouting. And then somewhere in the middle of breakfast, he started giggling again. So it's like, so he got lifted up. But not only that, that day he goes out and leads two people to Christ. Amazing, amazing. And then he comes back like, woohoo, just jumping around. And then by that time, Bing Chen hadn't led anybody to Christ. And so, you know, he was ready to be used by God. And on the last day, on Friday, is right? Friday. And, wait a minute. Thursday, him and Grant had a spiritual battle with this couple of African-American guys who were espousing, like, you know, just erroneous doctrine. And I think it shook these guys up. There was the enemy spoke through the mouth of these guys, and it just kind of like affected them. And so I got to come and pray for them. So they were really kind of a little bit, you know, the foundation was a little shaken. But the next day, the Lord comes up and we switch up the team a little bit and Grant goes to UCLA, leads somebody to Christ, and then Bing Chen at USC, he goes solo. He not only have shared the gospel the second time and third time here at this STP, but then he went solo. Oh my goodness. And then first two guys, he leads to Christ. So by the time I got to campus, he was coming towards me, kind of like a slow motion. And like, you know, he's this big guy, you know, he's like almost kind of slightly leaping, you know? And I said, two people came to Jesus. And so it was a lot of fun to see that. And so I said immediately, God wants to encourage you. God wants to encourage our team. And pretty much the day before was like really, you know, pretty tough. But the Lord lifted them up.
And so praise the Lord. That's one of my favorite scenes. And also with Eli, our first timer from Berkeley, this fellow here. And he leads somebody to Christ, and he never shared the gospel before. So all the just the first timers and new young people leading people to Christ is just a testimony of God's power. You don't need a gifted person. You don't need a Bible knowledge person. You don't need a whole lot of things. But anybody who just out of the, you know, just trusting the Lord, they go out and makes themselves available. I think, you know, we're not used because we're special, but we're available. If you're available and go, God will use you. So as a proof of his power. So anyway, that was pretty fun for me. And so, but without further ado, the message today is twofold. One is for the graduation of the STPers. So I only gave one message. So this message is also connected to the STP. And so you are being graduated. But today also we have professionals graduating. So I said the end of March was the time. Is it March? No, wait a minute. End of May. Yeah, I'm a little couple of months behind. You know, graduating, so this will be the last meeting for them, and so we could bless them off. So this is a message for you as well. Message for them, message for you. And so it's from Philippians chapter 2, and it's a passage we know, and this is a passage that I enjoyed ever since I was in college. And when I came to this place, after the famous passage of, you know, consider others better than yourselves, you know, and take on the attitude of Christ, who emptied himself, you know, who came in the form of men but did not demand to be acknowledged as that, and how he humbled himself to the point of obedience, to the point of death, death on the cross. And so every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And so this is about Jesus Christ. The main central passage is about Jesus in the previous passage. But it goes on to give examples of therefore, it says, so then, just as you have obeyed in verse 12 of chapter 2, not in my presence, but now in my absence, work out your salvation in the fear with fear and trembling. God who is at work in you, both to will and to do good works. And so, because Jesus Christ has set an example, we too are to obey. In this case, you know, Paul is saying, you have obeyed me in my absence. Now, in my presence, now obey me in my absence, and work out your salvation. Work out your own struggles in life to be saved, sanctified, saved. And it's because God is the one who's working you to will. You make decisions because God is working. And God is not only to will, but also to work. And therefore, do, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of crook and perverse generation. We being in a crook and perverse generation, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Prove yourselves blameless and innocent. So grumbling is kind of like a kind of emotional bad attitude. Disputing is kind of intellectual criticizing. That's according to John MacArthur's, you know, definition. And so it goes on to remind them that you are to appear as light to the world. So because Jesus humbled himself, work out your salvation because God is the one who's working in you to will and to work. do that thing out of grumbling or disputing, to be blameless and innocent children, to be a light to the world, light in the world, holding on to the word of life. And then he gives example of himself. He gives example of Timothy, examples of Epaphroditus. Those are two of my favorite disciples of Paul. Two of my favorite disciples of Paul is written right here, Timothy and Epaphras. So, the STP theme is spiritual generation. It comes from 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then it says, entrust these to faithful men who will then be able to teach others also. And so, what I wanted to title this is, who are the faithful men? Who are the faithful women? So, in answering this question, first we need to listen to it thinking, I want to be that. When I came to this passage in my younger days, I said, wow, that's like these guys are pretty loyal and selfless. I want to be that. So first response should be, when you hear this, I want to be that. Second is, I want to pray that God would bless me with such disciples. You want a disciple like Timothy. The faithful men are Timothy and Epaphras described here. And you want to really pray even now before you have a disciple. God, would you bless me with a person like a Timothy that Paul had? Person like Epaphroditus. So again, listen to it for yourself and then hope for such a disciple. Not only, just like even younger brothers here, let souls to Christ. The next step is if they actually want to meet you, then you might have to disciple them. So hope for a faithful disciple. Not everyone will be the faithful disciple, but you're hoping for the faithful ones. So who are the faithful disciples? We want to learn from Timothy and Epaphras. And I will just give you the answer. Faithful disciples are one with kindred spirit. More modern day word is like-mindedness. Secondly, a faithful disciple is a person of proven worth. We talk about proven character, but here it says proven worth. This person is worthy because of these things that was proven. So a person who is like-minded or kindred spirit with Paul. Now, Paul had an amazing spirit, and Timothy was one of those. But both of these guys are kindred spirits, and they were both proven worth. And lastly is men who will be willing to be sent. Men who are willing to be sent. They were both willing to be sent to represent Christ and even represent Paul. So for each of these points, I'm just going to go through the two people right here, Timothy and Epaphras. So the first, what does it mean that Timothy says here, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. So he wanted to first send Timothy, but it was not convenient at that point to send Timothy, so he sent Epaphras. But he hopes to send Timothy shortly so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. You know, when I talk about people's condition, that person's in good condition. That person is not so in good condition. This is where I get it right here. Paul assessed the people in Philippi and other places. You know, he was concerned about their spiritual condition. And we could look at ourselves and how's my condition? Is my condition in a spiritually good condition or spiritually compromised condition? We need to always kind of assess and see, what condition am I? What condition is my disciple? And constantly be, so Paul was constantly concerned about the condition of his disciples in these different cities. And then he goes on and says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. So he calls Timothy a disciple who has a kindred spirit, and he is genuinely concerned for your welfare, Philippians, as much as I. I am really concerned about your condition, and I'm concerned about you, and I have another person, my disciple, Timothy. He is as concerned about your condition and your well-being as me. We are kindred spirit. We're kindred spirit. So not only Paul was concerned genuinely for the condition of the Philippians. You know, we see in Thessalonians, Paul prays the Thessalonians saying, you know, I always thank God, remembering your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. What is Paul concerned about? He's concerned about the work of faith, work of believing God. You know, in fact, in the Bible it says, anything that is not of faith is sin. So how do we know if something is a work of faith? Is, you know, if we are trusting God for it. What I'm doing, am I trusting God or am I trusting myself? Doing the work of faith is what Paul was concerned about in himself and also his disciples. Labor of love, work of love, work of love. And steadfastness of hope. Hoping in the coming of the Lord Jesus and continually being steadfast to follow. He was committed to it, but he was hoping the Philippians will be committed to it as the Thessalonians. He was hoping for their condition to be well. And he was trying to send Timothy over to find out what condition they are in. But for Timothy, he was of the same spirit, same kindred spirit as Paul. So he's like-minded. I didn't use this word during STP, but you know, what you want is a like-minded man, like-minded woman who is genuinely concerned for not only people's welfare, but the interests of Christ. Interests of Christ. That's what it says. Many people seek their own interests, but not those of Christ Jesus. Many people seek their own interest. Because in this perverse and crooked generation, everybody's into self. This generation is into self. Selfish interest, what I want, what I'm hoping for. So when even for Christians, when we follow Christ, if it jeopardizes my interest, that's when we could part. Christ wants me to go this way, but it's not the same as my interest. And Paul is saying many people seek after their own interests, even Christians. But Timothy right here, he is genuinely concerned for your welfare and also the interests of Christ. That's why he is a kindred spirit with me. So that's what it means, kindred spirit, like-minded. But for Epaphroditus, but then somehow he couldn't send Timothy, so he decided to send Epaphroditus. So in verse 25, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is of your messenger and minister to my need. So He sent Epaphroditus, but Epaphroditus was actually from Philippians. Philippians sent Epaphroditus as a messenger to help Paul. So he was with Paul, but now rather than him being with Paul, the Philippians needed him more. So he's now sending Epaphras back. And you know how he describes Epaphras? Epaphras, my brother. I think he was a little bit older than Timothy. Timothy, he considered him as my child. He's a little bit older. So he calls him my brother. Epaphras, a slightly older man, he considers him my brother. And then he considers him my worker. You know, when Paul says you're my worker, you know how awesome that compliment is? He's a worker. He's a laborer. He's a soul saver. He's an establisher. He's a disciple maker. And when he says you are my fellow worker, that's a pretty high praise. Epaphroditus was a kindred spirit with Paul as well. Not only was he a faithful worker for the cause of the gospel, he was a fellow soldier. He calls him fellow, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. Wow, fellow soldier. In 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, entrust these to faithful men, then Paul goes, suffer with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He called Timothy to be a good soldier, but he considers Epaphroditus already a soldier. You are my fellow soldier. And soldier for Jesus does not entangle himself in civilian affair. What normal people are into? What are normal people into? Get a job, get a career, get a family, have kids, enjoy the family. That's not wrong. But if we pursue what other people do to enjoy this life, that could be considered as a civilian affair. Civilians are just concerned about their life and their enjoyment. But that's not the kind of discipleship that Jesus is calling us to, nor Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is saying, suffer with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as a soldier on active duty, not living a civilian. And he calls Epaphroditus fellow soldier, means he, being sent by the church of Philippi, comes to Paul as a soldier. Reporting, sir, Apostle Paul, tell me what to do. How can I suffer with you as a good soldier? I denied myself. I left my home. I want to serve you and Christ for the cause of the gospel. It's something to meditate about. We are called to be fellow soldiers. Who is also your messenger and minister to my need, Paul says. So they sent him as a messenger. You know, the messenger in English word is apostle. Not apostle of 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, but still the sent one. Apostle means sent one, a messenger. So actually, Epaphroditus was sent as an apostle from Philippi church. If you're sent, you're an apostle. We just sent Bingchen. Oh, I forgot to have Bingchen come and share a testimony. I'm going to do it after I'm done. Okay? Bingchen's leaving in 2 weeks, so I wanted to have him give a short, departing testimony. So here's a kindred spirit to Paul. Timothy was a kindred spirit. Epaphroditus was a kindred spirit. A fellow brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. You want a disciple like that. You want to be a disciple to a Paul or some leader you'll be coming through. So if that is the kindred spirit that you need to be to a Paul or a leader that you'll be with, but you want a disciple with a kindred spirit, committed to the interests of Christ, committed to being a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. That has always been my hope, and I've enjoyed some of that, and I still hope for that. Secondly, this faithful disciple must be a proven worth. Like I said, proven character is also necessary, but proven worth. This person is worthy of consideration because he passed some test to be proven. What is the provenness of Timothy? It goes on and says, for they all seek after their own interests, not the interests of Christ. That is a proven worth. Timothy didn't seek his interest, but the interest of Christ. But the next one is pretty amazing. But you know that of his proven worth, that he served with me for the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Like a child serving his father. Why is this a proven worth? That he served me, Paul, in the furtherance of the gospel, to further the gospel, preach the gospel, raise up disciples and workers, soldiers. In the furtherance of the gospel, he was like a child serving his father. So this is a praise. Child serving his father. Why? Because now Timothy at this time probably was at least 30 years old. When he took on the church of Ephesus, they say he was about maybe 40, mid-40 or something. So he's at least 30. And Paul must have been at least maybe 20 years ahead. So he's kind of like, could be considered as a father. But why did Paul mention this as a proven worth? You know, he's younger and he's older. He says, he served me for the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Because in this crook and perverse generation, this always is not true. When you're a young person and you think you know something, you know, we want to be my own man. I want to be the boss. I want to be noticed. I want to be, you know, prominent. I don't want to be submitted to an older man. And that's the problem with this generation. Growing up, they're so used to like playing games and doing what they like. They have a hard time working in any company because they never learn how to be submitted to a boss. So even my disciple, when I started UCLA ministry, there was a disciple from USC who went with me to UCLA. And then he got a job, but he did something and he got fired. And he just couldn't hold a job thereafter. He didn't know how to submit to a boss. So here, Paul is praising Timothy for remaining as a child and considering Paul like a father. This kind of reminds me of Grant. He comes from the East Coast and say, I consider you my father. Well, it's not strange. It's, you know, that's a little bit orthodox and Catholic, but it's all right. I'll take it. But it's kind of revering somebody older, you know? And not following the perverse crook generation and wanting to be independent and not be under the father. But he's willing to remain as a child serving his father for the furtherance of the gospel. But when you are under, sometimes there's some stress, you know. I don't know if this leader of mine knows what he's doing. You know, what if he's abusing me? You know, there's concern, there's anxieties. And you know, the Bible says, cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Cast your anxieties. So when you're under, you could be anxious because you're not sure if you could trust the leader. Well, you know what that verse comes from? That's 1 Peter 5:7. What's 1 Peter 5:5-6? Let's go to that. 1 Peter. And I share this, guys, not as something new. I've been preaching this all my ministry. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Therefore, humble yourself. Whatever, that's not it. That's how we start, right? You younger men, in the same way. Let's see, Lauren, you know this verse. Go ahead and recite it for us. He got so many verses, he has to kind of like shuffle through the verses. In the same way, clothe yourself with humility. Okay, well, that's good. He's, you know, it's okay. He's got a lot more verses memorized. And then at verse 8 says, be sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. This is all connected. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, but to elders. Of course, the elders need to be humble, vice versa. But it's first more about being submitted to older person. And because actually, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This principle right here is really, really relevant. Because if we don't humble ourselves before the older person, wherever we go, then God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I asked Bing Chen, what do you think God blessed you with two souls today? When he kind of leaped and jumped over, you know, over to me. And one of the things he said was, because I listened to you, Pastor Min. Because that morning, we were talking about, okay, somebody needs to go to change and go from UCLA to USC. And then who will do it? I said, and then, you know, at the end of the hall at the kitchen, Bing Chen goes, I want to be sent. And so I said, Bing Chen, you go to USC. And he said, you know, he submitted. And so, and one of the reasons why he led two people to Christ, because you went to USC. You followed Pastor Min sending you to USC. Is that right? Praise the Lord. You know what that reminded me of? One time I asked Yvonne, why were you so fruitful? She said, because I listened to you, Pastor Min. Remember saying that? Well, you did. As you said, it was hard, but I did. Because when you came into training, I said, go evangelize from 1 to 5 and then 7 to 9 or something like that, 6 hours in a day or something. You know, and she followed it through. And that's when I think Adele came in and Hannah came in and a couple of other girls came in, right? That was an early fruit. Because you listen to Pastor Min. Hey, you know what? I'm concluding there's something to this. Something to this. I'm not into like people listening to me and, you know, me being like high because all the people listening to me. But, you know, when you listen to your leader, it allows the grace to flow. Grace to flow. Even the grace that God has given the leader. You know, I think I have a certain amount of grace. God blessed me to be fruitful. Pretty much from the very first start in college and junior year, I led about 12, 13 people to Christ when I was a junior. And I always had led people to Christ all the way through until now. So there's just some grace God has given me through his spirit. But I realized I could impart this grace to others, but if they are open to it, if they're humble, then the grace will flow. Same thing with Jesus, of course. He has abundant grace. If we would obey Jesus, he will pour his grace upon us. So proven worth in Timothy's case was treating Paul like a father, treating Paul like a father, as a child. And he's praising that because not all the people does that in this crooked and perverse generation. He's kind of praising. And I've been preaching this for, you know, all my ministry years, guys. I sought to be a humble follower. In fact, I told you that in my days, we were taught, don't try to glorify yourself, but try to make your leader be successful. That's a profound, profound instruction from the Navigators. Don't try to glorify yourself. Try to make your leader look good. And that's what I try to do is, you know, when I was doing ministry under SoCal, Fred, we know, I try to do what I can and make his, you know, SoCal ministry look good. So this is a real selfless, but really, you know, leader honoring kind of a thing. And I want to teach you this still, even as the professionals leave. My teaching is no different from the past. This still, I believe. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. God will lift you up in due time. That allows the grace to flow through you. Grace will flow through you. Anything else, you know, grace will stop. Or grace will be hindered. Fruitfulness will be hindered. So for Timothy, considering himself a child and treating Paul like a father, allowed the grace to flow. And that's why he was fruitful too. But what is the proven worth of Epaphras? Epaphras, it says, you know, as Paul sent him back to the Philippians, because he was longing for you and was distressed because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, not on him, but also on me. Lest that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly so that you see him again and rejoice. And it goes on, and it says, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what is deficient in your service to me. Whatever the service that Philippians was deficient in serving Paul, you know, Epaphroditus completed it. But he did it risking his life. He was willing to risk his life to come from Philippi to Rome. And in the process of coming from Philippi to Rome, he risked his life. He was distressed. I mean, he was sick to the point of death. He was sick to the point of death. You know what's more interesting here is, because the Philippians heard that Epaphras was sick. You know how Epaphras responded? Verse 26. For you all, he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Not only did he get sick and almost died along the way, he was distressed. The Philippians heard that he was sick. Oh no, how did they hear that I almost died? I don't want to worry them. I don't want them to, you know, concern them, because they sent Epaphras to Rome and he almost died. If he did die, it would have just really brought some heavy, you know, guilt, perhaps concerns. That was pretty heavy. So Epaphras was a guy not only willing to die for the service of the gospel, even for the Philippian church, even for Paul. He didn't want people to be worried about him. his suffering of almost dying, he didn't want to let people know about that. He didn't want to broadcast that. I don't want to worry anybody. I did what I wanted to do for Jesus, for Paul, for the church. But my struggle and suffering is nothing. I don't want people to know. But, you know, that's different from this crooked and perverse generation. You know, we're more into self. If I suffer, if I do something wrong, I mean, if something bad happens to me, I want to make sure people know about it. That's the perverse and crooked generation makes us be more self-focused. But for Epaphras, his proven worth is not only was he willing to die and suffer for Philippians, for Paul, for Jesus, he wanted to downplay his suffering, and he wanted to upplay how he can help more. Downplay his suffering and his hurts, upplay how he can help more. This is a proven worth. This is his proven worth. So pray for a disciple who would have such proven worth, who would be selfless, not take on the grumbling and disputing spirit of this world, but a person who would downplay his own suffering, upplay how he could be a help to the Philippian church, to Paul, and for Christ. Now, such a selfless person is truly worthy. Worthy to what? Paul says in verse 29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy, hold man like him in high regards, who came close to death. Who should you put people in high regards are not the one who complains and, you know, grumbles or disputes, who takes after the world. We need to put people in high regards who is willing to suffer and want to continue to serve, to do what is best for others. It says, hold men like him in high regards, high regards. We need to know what is the noble trait. What is the honorable virtue? We need to know how to identify what's an honorable virtue, what is not an honorable virtue. And we need to elevate men with honorable virtue. This man right here, he had an honorable virtue. I hope we try to be such a man with honorable virtue. And then we could hope that God will give us disciples with such an honorable virtue. And, you know, you guys who are graduating from STP, pray for this, for yourself and for a disciple. Those of you who are graduating from our professional ministry to go to other places, I hope you will not take after the crook and perverse generation, but take on honorable virtue. And you'll come across other leaders. You know, this principle is everywhere. If you go to another church, you're going to have another pastor. If you're going to just go to another church and say, pastor's pastor, I'm going to do what I want. That's not honorable. You got to go find out what the pastor is about. How can I support you? How can I serve you? How can I, you know, be your right arm or left arm or help you? And you need to learn how to be a child, and if he's old enough, consider him like a father. That communicates a lot of humility, Only when you do that, you might get some blessings from him. Only when you take that humble position, then grace from Jesus Christ will come flow. This all applies to you who will move on to be in other churches. Finally, the third characteristic. First is kindred spirit. Second is proven worth. Third is willing to be sent. Willing to be sent. Not everybody's willing to. You know, Bing Chu was willing to be sent. So I felt so free when he said, I want to be sent. And so I said, well, that makes me free to tell you to go wherever you want, whatever I want you to go. Well, I want you to go to USC there. But you know why I said that? Because that's your campus. I want you to save some soul in your campus before you leave to China. That's why I said, Bing Chu, you go to China. You know, SC. Isn't that great that you led two people to Christ in the SC instead of UCLA? UCLA is your enemy. No, but then again, we should love our enemy too, right? You know, so that's not a problem. So, willing to be sent. That's being an apostle. You know, some person or some church sending another to a place with a mission. That's normally how you want to leave the ministry. You need to have a mission to be sent somewhere. Don't just leave. You got to have a mission. Well, both Timothy and Epaphroditus, they were just ready to serve. They were willing to be sent. You know, just being sent is not a automatic privilege. I wouldn't send anybody to any place unless I feel that that person is qualified. I wouldn't send anybody to any place unless I believe that person could bless the other people. I mean, I learned a lot of lessons from sending missionaries overseas, sending people prematurely. You know, maybe I shouldn't have sent this person, that person, that early. So I've learned a lot of lessons sending people. There's a proper time to send people. And people willing to be sent need to be better ready. And there's, of course, a faith aspect. Some person might not be totally ready, but being sent because out of faith is, you know, kind of an acceptable, you know, alpha effect, you know, plus or minus alpha, you know. If R represents readiness, you know, we may not be able to always know what that readiness R is. R could be plus or minus with alpha, you know. That alpha could be a range of trusting God. I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about. So, but anyway. So, Epaphras was sent already by the Church of Philippi. Now, Paul knew that Church of Philippi needed it more, and so he wanted to send it back. But he already has a bad experience. Almost dying coming from Philippi to Rome. He had that bad experience, scar. It would have been even more tougher to go back again, to take that long trip. But, you know, he was willing to be sent. He didn't even want anybody to think about that scar of almost dying. He was willing. He was willing to go. Timothy was willing to go. Well, so this is what we can learn from Timothy and Epaphras. But lastly, there's one thing that we can learn from Paul. In verse 17, it says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You, You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. So, you know, Paul, he was an apostle. He's the one who planted the Philippi church. And the Philippians have been very supportive. Epaphras actually came to Paul with financial help. So the Philippian church was, you know, very helpful. But, you know, Paul's humility is pretty good. And this is something, you know, I need to learn and I've been trying to apply, but not considering my sacrifice as a big thing. Continue to appreciate other people's sacrifice. And I'm guilty of not appreciating people enough. But I always do. Actually, I appreciate internally a lot more than people think. But Apostle Paul always thought himself, he was a secondary sacrifice. For the furtherance of the gospel, actually, the church of Philippi, you sacrifice the main sacrifice. You know, there is in the Old Testament, there's a you know, blood sacrifice. And this drink offering is like pouring of wine, secondary. Of rejoicing, bringing joy to the Father. It's actually a result of work. You have to raise the grape and make it into wine, and then you pour it unto God, and it becomes a kind of a vapor unto the Father. It's kind of the labor is offered to God as a sweet fragrance unto the Father. So Paul considered his own sacrifice only secondary. And the sacrifice of Timothy and Epaphras, the main sacrifice. So there's something to be learned from Paul, always elevating the disciples more than himself. But Paul did some major sacrifice, but he chose to think of his own sacrifice as a secondary. That's very much like It's very much like Christ's attitude, who humbled himself. So we as a discipler, we can also learn to downplay ourselves and upplay the disciple. So there's something for me to learn as well, as anybody who disciples others. So this is it. I give you this, you SDPers graduating. I give you this, you working people who are moving on. You know, I would preach this. I preach this from my early ministry. I preach this still. I help you become men and women of like-minded with your leaders, kindred spirit with your leaders, and you would be men and women of proven worth. Proven worth. Only if you do pass the test of proven worth can the grace flow and can you be fruitful. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this passage to reflect on faithfulness of Timothy and faithfulness of Epaphroditus and faithfulness of Paul. For a whole lifetime, he poured himself out like a drink offering. And glorified you and appreciated the churches that he planted himself. And Lord, there's something to be learned as we finish a STP on spiritual generation, what it means to be a leader, what it means to be a follower, and what it means, who is a faithful disciple, so we can be one and we can hope for one. And Lord, as our graduate brothers and sisters leave this church and move on to other churches, Lord, they will come under another leader, another pastor. Would you help them to be men and women who would be a kindred spirit, a like-minded disciples, and who would humble themselves to have proven worth so that grace will not be quenched, but grace will flow into them and through them to bless many others. So God, so we bless all of us to go forth to this end, to go and make disciples of all nations, and to entrust these to faithful men. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.